Like, oh, listen, would you like to play Augusta with me? And I thought about retiring on the spot. Got a text message a couple of years ago, and I thought someone was winding me up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
It is time for us to turn our attention to rugby. Ireland play England at Twickenham this weekend. It is quite the test for us. We're delighted to say we have Anna Capeless and Helena Rowland with us this morning. You're both very welcome. Helena, I might start with you. You should probably be playing this weekend. How are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, it's all right. I think going into Twickenham, it's always a pretty special occasion. So, yeah. Bit of a shame to be missing out, but it's sport, isn't it? So
you got injured in the Italy game, I think, is that right?
Yes, yeah, broke my finger and had it pinned back together nearly 2 weeks ago now. But yeah, bit of a frustrating one because it's obviously such a small injury and yet it can rule you out for a whole tournament.
And intensely painful. The smaller the injury, generally the higher levels of pain?
When I initially did it, it was pretty painful. But it's not been too bad since. I've not been able to been splintered up or in a cast, so it keeps it pretty protected.
And are you a good spectator? A lot of times people who are forced to watch their own teams are like, I can't watch this.
I go through moments. I'd like to say on the whole, I'm an all right spectator. But yeah, it's definitely tough when you're getting into big games. You want to be out there and feel a bit helpless in the stands.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anna, it is quite the test for Ireland. And I guess this time last year, we would have been terrified. But this time this year, there's real green shoots from an Ireland perspective. Our defence has been much stronger. Our attack has been much better. So what's your level of expectation for the weekend?
Yeah, big week. They probably couldn't have hoped for a better, lead into it with that win against Wales that came off the back of, two losses, getting a bonus point and a really close, like pushing Italy to the very last minute. The expectation is, I just hope that they're not rocked a lot. I'd love to see some tries. You said there about the green shoots. I'm so excited for those girls just to have a crack. Enjoy, like I did, we're listening back to a lot of the reviews from last weekend. They all spoke about the crowd and how much they enjoyed playing in Musgrave and the lift in that now going into Twickenham, obviously. Cork and London, I don't know. Again, here, compare the two of them, but it's just such a huge ramp up. But I'm so excited for those young girls, along with the experience, the excitement that came with Fiona Maloney coming back in. And, everyone in Cork knew the story. Everyone was really enjoying that moment. I enjoyed that moment. I know a lot of people did to see Fiona coming back in. So to combine that and the old heads, along with these young, brightly, like wonderful young players. I'm just excited for them.
What represents success for Ireland this weekend, Anna?
I think if you look back at how England have played so far, a lot of the teams have been able to keep England a bit quiet in the first half, and then England ramp it up and they're able to run away with it in the second half. If Ireland could keep it to a smaller scoreline and actually, get a few scores in that kind of those first few moments after halftime to not let England run away, slowing down the ruck, disrupting those offloads, which isn't easy to do, stay on their feet for the full 80 minutes, get on the score sheet, get a couple of tries, that I'd be happy with that. And like, it's something else, sorry, that I want to add into that first question you asked about, comparing to last year. How great is it that we're just talking about rugby now? This is what we wanted, just to talk about the rugby and not be referring to all these things off pitch. Like, this is what we wanted. We couldn't ask, looking at where we've come from, we couldn't have asked for a better, prep for going into Twickenham.
Yeah. Helena, on that, I don't know. I'm always interested to know from an outside perspective. Were you aware of the fact that there was significant chaos in the background in Irish rugby over the last couple of years? Was it something that registered with you and your teammates?
Yeah, I think it definitely was. Obviously, you see all the reports in the media, and there's a number of Irish players that are playing over in our league in the Premiership. So, yeah, it was definitely something that we were aware of. My roommate on England camp has been Claudia McDonald, and obviously it's her other half is Cleaner, so was fairly, I suppose, I understood what was going on there. And yeah, I think it's obviously a massive testament to the players, how they've, I suppose, gone through that and come out the other side this year with and put in some really strong performances and showed some really good signs for the future.
Because one of the things that international sport needs is it needs rivalries and it needs teams to have some sense of jeopardy in advance of games to get the crowd coming. Because if you're going to beat everybody 60-0 week in, week out, the crowd will come for a while, but eventually they need to see you guys put to the pin of your collar. And as a relatively new sport, professional rugby itself needs new rivalries. So it's really important that countries like Ireland do actually get organised properly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, I suppose, the beauty of sport at an international level is you want those rivalries, those close games where you actually can't call either way. I think there's definitely signs over the last couple of years with the professionalism and the investment in the women's game that's definitely coming. I think this weekend is going to be a great test, I suppose, to see just how far Ireland have come on the back of a big win against Wales and a close loss to Italy. I suppose it's always at the moment everyone's still flocking to Twickenham, which is great for us. They've got another 44,000 in, so, and hopefully a few more on the day. It's great for women's rugby, and it's a real, I suppose, testament to the work behind the scenes to get people through the door and really grow the game.
As ever, a lot of Six Nations conversations tend to be had through the prism of the World Cup. I think probably from Ireland's perspective, it's about qualifying for the World Cup. From your perspective, I presume the talk has started to ratchet up about winning the World Cup. Obviously, you're going to be the host nation. Disappointing result in the final last time out. But then, as I mentioned, you've got the home nation aspect of it as well. What's the general emotion when you have those conversations and you think about next year?
I think generally it's excitement. I think obviously there's been a massive push for a while, even pre last World Cup. It had been still been in the background that the next one is the home one. I think, yeah, obviously there isn't a greater feeling than winning a World Cup on home soil. So it's definitely something that we're preparing for. It's what. Obviously, you're taking each tournament as it comes, but ultimately, in the back of our minds, that's the big target. I think these next few tournaments obviously are a great preparation for that, and hopefully go in and maybe go one stage further than we have done the last few.
Is that a process of just trying to find a couple of new players to increase depth in the squad, or is it very much actually fine-tuning at this stage, albeit we're, 18 months out from the tournament?
No, I'd say it's probably more of the former. I think this is obviously only our second tournament with a new coaching team as well. And there's so many players coming through that have been in the mix so far this Six Nations that a few have had their opportunities, a few will wait a little bit longer. I think definitely trying to get more depth. Ultimately, the more players you have in each position, the better you're going to fare, and the more competition there is as well, which is ultimately how we get better.
In terms of the style of play of the international side, how does it marry up with the top teams in the Premiership at the moment? Is that easy for the squad to adapt to the demands of the international team? Is the international team kind of trend setting?
I'd say it probably is quite different. It's something our management have been very keen to, I suppose, get new ideas in, new structures of how we're going to play. We're having meetings every week from January in order to get our head around all the new systems and stuff. And yeah, so I think it probably is quite different, but it's exciting, I think, because it's new, and hopefully a little bit more exciting to watch than maybe we have been previously, trying to throw the ball around a little bit more and show a bit more of that ambition rather than relying quite so much on our forwards. So, yeah, it's been good to be involved with, and hopefully it'll just keep evolving towards the World Cup next year.
And is that a function of learning from the past and deciding that if you are going to be more competitive when it comes to the business end of tournaments, that you actually need to stress defences longer and more often and keep the ball in play more and be more phase play than relying on the strength?
Yeah, I think so. I think ultimately the more options you have, the more unpredictable you're going to be. I think obviously the last couple of World Cups haven't gone our way, so it's you've got to try something different. And yeah, I think that the more unpredictable you can be in terms of whether you're driving it, you're playing out from deep, you've still got obviously got the kicking game, which is a real strength of ours. So yeah, I think ultimately that can only put us in a better place going forward.
Can I ask you one last question about this before we move on? This is obviously an Olympics year as well. You're an Olympian. The benefits of playing the sevens game and the 15s game and the crossover, it's been a bit of a bone of contention in Ireland. But from an England perspective, what was that experience like? And how do you think, for example, that you got the best out of having that experience between the sevens and the 15s and that it has been able to influence both?
Yeah, I think it has been positive. Obviously, it's not not something that a huge number in the squad have done, but I think in terms of the skill sets and what you get from playing sevens, particularly at an Olympic Games where it's the biggest sporting event there is, and you're not going to get many opportunities to play like that. So I think going from that then into a World Cup environment, it only stands you in good stead in terms of being able to handle that pressure and I suppose thriving in it and having that experience prior to a World Cup. And yeah, I think that there's also so much more sevens can bring from a player skill set point of view. It really forces you to, I suppose, fine tune your skills, your passing, all that sort of stuff, which is only going to help when you cross over back.
Anna, on that style of play piece, it's very interesting to look at how Ireland are playing at the moment, and you'd expect that maybe their approach to Saturday is going to be quite similar to how they approached the France game in week one. It does feel that the team maybe deserve a bit of credit because they've almost got to have two styles of play in this tournament, where there's three teams they can beat and they expect to beat, and then two teams who they'd be significant underdogs against. What's your take on all of that, and how Ireland have to approach these different games against different strength oppositions?
Yeah, I don't think that's just, unique to this Irish team. Mm. If you look at any, you look at your opposition that's coming up and you look at, okay, what are their strengths and who do we have to avoid and who are we going to attack, etc. In terms of like, and you also have to make sure that you're not focusing so much on the opposition that you forget your own strengths. It is a bit difficult because if you look at England's back three, if you look at our strength so far, like one of our big strengths has been the boot of Dan O'Brien, who's been winning territory, everywhere for Ireland, and that's been so useful. But you have to be very sure of it, maybe taking a little less out of the ball, because if you're, giving the ball to the back three at England and the damage they can do, you could land yourself in a lot of trouble. It's like any team preparing for any opposition. You look at what they have, what are their strengths, where will we attack, what will we avoid, and then you go back to focusing on yourself more than anything else. So, but you're right, that kind of mentality of two games that you kind of can't win, but it's less likely that you can take the W. And then the three where you're like, okay, we can win this. Why don't you just, in the ones that you're probably, less likely to win, throw caution to the wind. Why don't you just keep solidifying your strength so that they're stronger for when then you come up against the team that you're hoping to get a result against.
When it comes to the kicking game this weekend, we've obviously heard there that England can kick the ball pretty well themselves. You've outlined the back three that are exceptional for England as well. So how does that factor into how Ireland are going to approach it, certainly playing for territory on Saturday?
Probably just really making sure you can find touch. Being very aware of covering your backfield. It's kind of one of those games where you're going in and you're like, okay, I've got no choice there. I cannot get tired. I cannot spend more than a couple of seconds on the ground. I'm on my feet all the time, because if not, that's my space. That's my responsibility. I'm in Twickenham. I'm playing for Ireland. We're coming off the back of a win. It's more important now than ever that I do my job really well. Covering the space, maybe just, you know, it's not like Dan O'Brien has been missing touch too often, but just really making sure of it, giving ourselves a platform to attack from. That's without overcomplicating things, that's as simple as you can make it.
Helena, can you talk to us a little bit about Scott Beaman and what kind of a character he is?
Yeah, I think obviously it's going to be interesting coming up against him on the other side this weekend. I think he's incredibly detailed with what he does. And I think you can see that playing dividends in terms of, I suppose, you can just see that they're all on the same page. And you can really see, I suppose, what they're trying to do, what the structures are, how they're trying to attack, and you can really see, I suppose, his influence over that. I think, yeah, he's full of energy, and he'll really give that to a team. I think he's so far he's been very good for them, which is pleasing to see.
And what does he try and do? When, if you were to think back at the success that he had with you guys, what would you say would be the hallmark of the Scott Beaman attack?
I think being direct was probably a big one, particularly in those wide channels. And I think you've seen that with FIFA Wafer down the wing. And not getting bored of doing the simple things. Because if you keep the ball, you go through phases, defences are going to crack. And that's, I suppose, the beauty and simplicity of the game. I think that's definitely something that he used to hammer home for us.
Well, he was incredibly successful with England, obviously. And so far, the start with Ireland has been great. I don't know if this is unfair or not, but can we get predictions from you both? Anna?
A smaller than 30-point margin win for England,
which is progress at the moment from an Ireland perspective, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Helen, I guess England would be happy enough with that, or would that be we need to do a bit better?
No, I think happy enough. I think you've looked at the last couple of results that Ireland have had, and they're definitely not being taken lightly this weekend. So I think, yeah, obviously we're going for the 5 points. If we can get around a 30-point margin, I think that would be a decent result looking at the run of games so far. I think definitely maybe a couple of tries in there for Ireland as well, just with how they've been attacking. I think it's been very impressive.
I hope you're right. Anna Cape,
go on. Do you mind if I ask Kelly, sorry, because I know you love talking about sport and there's plenty of sport to talk about this morning, but do you mind if I ask Kelly a question about Scott and what he's brought to this team just before we
go for it? Up?
What I've seen and what I really like is, you know, after the game when the extras, and this isn't just the subs, these are like the travelling reserves, extras in the squad who for Ireland don't always travel with the squad, and if you're not selected usually you're not around, but like the extended squad seems to be very much embraced in this new environment, which I'm loving seeing. After the game, instead of just doing, you know, your shuttle runs to get in your extra conditioning, they've been playing games. Yeah. I love it. I think it's brilliant. Is that does that come from Scott?
Yeah, I think so. From my experience of doing those as well, it was always game based or 1v1s or something like that. Something to, I suppose, get a little bit more rugby into you. And ultimately, no one likes running shuttles. So, I would say that's his influence. It definitely makes them easier to do after a game as well.
It's just a small change, but can really affect like the feeling of the squad. I think it's brilliant, and I've been loving watching that.
Great detail. Anna, thanks a million. Anna Capus and Helena Rowland, thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.